Blog Talk Radio.
Our tool can be wrong. It can. Good evening, one and all. Welcome to Eerie House Radio. Yes, power tools. Wait, I can't wait. It's nothing dirty, trust me. I'm Dale Kay from Spook Show here, along with...
Dave Beckman from the Weirdness Really Bad Movie.
And we've got a very, very special guest with us today. It's Dead Zed. And I believe he brought Tony along with him. Is that right?
Yeah, Tony's here right now. Dead Zed had to step out for a second. I think one of his drivers called or something. Needed to go pick up somebody.
And Tony is one of the co-producers of Graveyard Tales featuring Slash and Dead Zed. They are less than ironically going to appear later on the live stream Eerie House TV channel. We'll talk about that in a little bit. And our topic today is...
Coincidence? I think not.
That's right. And our topic today is tools used in... Don't be a tool. Use one. Tools in horror films. It seems like it's a recurring theme, and especially in some of the more modern films. Of course, Graveyard Tales will be presenting an edited version. Thank God it's edited. Of Driller Killer. But there's been many, many others, and we'll discuss a bunch of them, plus a great radio show that's all themed up. It's an episode of Black Museum called Clawhammer. That sounds delicious.
I feel like there's a trend going on tonight, guys.
Yep. So, sorry, ladies. Batteries not included.
Not that kind of tool, you said.
Yeah, no, well, I promised everybody I wouldn't go there, and there I go. So, Tony, you know, you visited us once before, but tell the audience a little bit about Graveyard Tales and how you joined up with Slash.
Well, Graveyard Tales is simply two ghouls that love horror. You got a werewolf with an attitude problem, and then you got this dead cabbie that has this really strange love for his mother and chili dogs. But the one thing that they do have in common is their love for horror, slapstick, comedy, and wrestling. So each month we're trying to bring you guys a new movie, and hopefully you guys can sit through it. We've already seen that this first episode, as you guys talked about the Driller Killer, I don't think so. I don't think we're going to make it through all that one tonight, guys.
And wisely you drilled it down, but I don't often get to preview every moment of a show, but I got a good look. And folks, if you get a chance to get on over to the TV channel when we're done here, I think you'll be very, very pleased with what you see. There's some very good comedy and good performances by both Slash and Dead Zed. Tell us a little bit about the character of Dead Zed, will you, Tony?
Sure. Dead Zed is this cabbie straight out of 1970s New York. And he is exactly what you would think. He is rude. He is loud. He is smelly. He is abrasive.
Smelly.
He's smelly. It's bad. You know, he tried to wear a secret and it told on him. That's how smelly he is. The odorant does not work for him. But he's lovable in a way. He's kind of like that uncle that you really don't want to come around family dinners, but, you know, once he gets there and whatnot, you kind of warm up to him. But he's just, he's eccentric, very over the top, and you just can't get enough of him. It's like corn dogs. They're delicious, but they're bad for you, and you shouldn't eat them, but you just can't stop yourself.
Are you saying Zed is delicious?
I think I did. Yeah, Zed's delicious. That's going to be on a t-shirt.
Deliciously
Thanks,
funny.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
you guys must be popular because I was looking at statistics of shows that were listened to, and one of the most popular ones we've had, at least in the last couple of months, was the last time you fellas visited. There's a good showing here in the chat tonight. We've got Evil Annie, as usual, Fogsbane 2. Gilgirl joins us today, as well as Jacques. Today it's De Nostra Chat, also known as Jacques Meow. And I like his posts. He's a very intelligent man. I'm a Jacques supporter.
That was a good one.
There's another reason that may have been one of the most popular shows we had. Maybe you and I are boring.
No, you guys aren't boring. You're great. One of those better be like a
well, maybe I am, but Dave is chock full of information about all our presentations or radio shows or the other genres we talk about, like we do here on Saturdays, and a lot of comic relief with Dave too. Don't sell yourself short, my man. We'll do that for you. No.
That's right.
Right. If anyone's going to cut you down, it'll be your friends.
That's right. If you can't depend on your friends to do that, who can you?
That's
right. I hope Gar is feeling well because I didn't see him doing a new show tonight for Horrible Horrors. I don't see him not doing it, but I haven't seen any announcements, and he's not here, so let's hope he's feeling
last,
well.
Last we heard yesterday, he was feeling well and planning on it. So let's I'll hope that he is feeling well enough to do it because that's always a super treat to see him live in action. It's just an amazing feat that he does for 4 hours straight. So how did you become involved in the show?
Well, I became involved. Actually met Toby through my regular day job. He was a security guard along with me at the time, and we just instantly
Wait a minute. You guys are working. You have a job. You're gainfully employed.
Okay, they can't be horror
hosts. Are you sure you're a horror host?
It's tough, but yeah, it is. But we met through work, and like I said, we just instantly clicked because, you know, we both had a super strong love for horror movies, and wrestling and comedy and Three Stooges and slapstick and just all of that stuff and Halloween, you know, the season, the movie, everything. It's just, we just bonded instantly. We were going to try and do this a little bit earlier on, but, you know, things just kind of fell through and, you know, just neither one of us really had the time at the moment and some things were going on. And just this past year, we got back together and started talking again and it just took off from there. It was the perfect timing. The right moment. Everything came together exactly when it was supposed to.
I know what you mean. I have not done a Dale K. Spook show in a while. Not only am I gainfully employed yet have the nerve to call myself a horror host. but you know, running these streaming channels and the radio show keeps you on your toes.
Oh, I can imagine. But we have a lot of things coming up. I'm super excited for not only our debut episode tonight, but we are going to be showing a really awesome movie, you know, coming up in next month. Don't want to give it away quite yet. We're going to be dropping some hints and getting some things together and whatnot. But I promise you guys, you will not be disappointed, and I know the fans won't either. So
now before you did actually. You talked about movies and trailers and things like that, but you didn't actually host the movie. What pushed you over the edge to go the route of hosting movies now?
I just think it's something that I've always wanted to do. I just always wanted to present horror in a certain fashion because growing up, I've seen, you know, Big Chuck and Little John and Svengoolie and you know, just all these shows on late night that's just not on anymore. And, you know, I just kind of wanted to bring that back because much like the drive-in, which is something that I love very much, horror host and things of that nature just seems to be not in the mainstream any longer. So when I found out Toby was doing this and, you know, it's something that he loved too, I was all about it. So I had to be a part of it.
That's fabulous.
Well, good news. I think both the drive-in and horror hosts are making a small resurgence. And I don't mean to belittle either genre by saying small, but when you look in the big picture, unfortunately, not everybody's into a horror house. And young people today, I don't know if they know what they're missing with the good old drive-ins.
Not at all, yeah.
Yeah, it's something that it's something we all grew up with, and something your millennials never really knew existed until, if they're watching any TV at all, if they're watching TV and found Svengoolie, that may have been the first time millennials ever really saw a horror-hosted show.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Sammy Terry in this area, you know, like I said, I'm actually from Northeast Ohio, but down here in Indiana, I understand that, you know, Sammy Terry was the big draw, you know, around here for the longest time until his passing. And I guess his son is taking over from here. Never really seen much of it since then, but you know, that's what the kids grew up on. And it does seem like there's a lack, like there's something missing, at least from what I've seen. So I'm glad that it's getting a small, you know, resurgence, and I hope it gets its comeuppance. I hope it really grows. So,
I think it's building up steam. People like yourself, and certainly there's a plethora, which is more than two, as we've established previously on earlier shows. There's a plethora of guys our age, from your age to I'm assuming you're somewhere in your 30s, to guys our age in our 50s and older that are. Doing stuff on the internet or on cable, other venues as well. Some are even making live appearances, like Fritz the Night Owl and Mike McGrainer. So it's not going to go away easily. There's too many people that love it.
Absolutely. When we filmed this last episode, actually, I brought my brother in to do camera with me, with us. We needed help. He wanted to check it out and whatnot. He came along, and we brought my nephew, and he was just so excited. Like, he was trying to figure out any way and every way that he could be, you know, in the actual, you know, the show and whatnot. And we're going to figure out a way to get him involved in one of the upcoming episodes. But it was just so cool to see that, you know, that kind of like that little spark, that little twinkle. And, you know, so my plan is to take him to some horror conventions. Let him get exposed to this a little more, as long as his parents are cool with it, which I'm sure they will be. But it was just really great to see that, you know, that young generation.
And that's how shows grow. Shows like yours and other shows that other people love to and become involved. And that is the great thing about the internet that you could never say about broadcast television. On the internet, there's room for everybody. And whether you use whatever service you use to share your programs with people, whether it be a streaming station or a static podcast or whatever the case is, there is room for everybody. And it's not really a competition. It's because everybody has things a different way. That's the one thing I enjoy watching on these, especially these internet stations, TV stations and such.
You mean like Erie House TV, for example?
Just like Erie House TV.
Just like
where it's you see so many of us hosting the same movies, and we aren't really watching it for the movie so many times anyway. I'm watching it a lot of times to see how this person presented it, the same movie I did, or that's pretty cool. What if you did it this way? That kind of a thing. That is what I really enjoy about seeing, especially. You're younger than we are, and you barely have a memory of the Big Chuck Little John, because they've been off the air in the movie format for quite some time. But you let that stick with you and guide you to become part of something like this. And I applaud you for that, because I've often wondered, we had a panel discussion about what happens when us old geezers are gone.
Well, that's been us young geezers, because I may not be a old geezer, but I'm no spring chicken either. But that's when we step up and, you know, we pick up that torch and we carry it. Big Chuck and Little John did stick with me, and that's what I'm trying to influence into this, because I remember not only did they show the movies, but they had the comedy skits in between and whatnot. And, you know, we're just trying to do a little piece of everybody to, you know, I don't want to say copy them, but to almost, you know, recognize them as these guys are our heroes and our teachers. But then we want to put our own spin on it too.
you know, we want to make it our own.
And I think it's fantastic that you're bringing younger folks into the fold too. As you mentioned, throughout the production of your show, he may talk to his friends and say, "Hey, there's this really cool thing. You got to check it out." That is my fervent hope, is that the genre doesn't die of hosting
right.
these films and presenting these old movies.
Right. When you get those younger people sharing with them, and they decide to split off on their own and do their own show, that's how this survives.
Yeah. Yep. And that's all it takes
yeah.
to do now with social media. It's just one person to share it, and next thing you know, it's a wildfire, man. It's just catching, you know, everywhere.
Well, that and the viewers and listeners, too. It's fun to do these, but I think it's fun to watch them, too. And some folks decide they don't want to do a show. They'd rather sit and watch Slash and Dead Zed. They want to watch Weirdness Really Bad Movie. They want to watch Ormsby. They want to watch, all these horror hosts online or in their local cable. Some guys like Uncle Pete, he's really doesn't have a huge internet presence. He's not a Facebook guy, but he was on cable for a long time. I stumbled across him and shared him with the folks over at the Vortex, who have a streaming channel very much like Eerie House, been around a lot longer than Eerie House. And Sluggo was very pleased to put his shows on there. It's a quality piece. I was lucky enough
yeah.
to do both. I started with cable and weaseled my way onto the internet.
I wouldn't say weasel with that, but you know what? Hey, that's however you want to describe it. But you know, that's how I feel weasel. I feel like I weaseled my way into this because
I
said this on the last show.
I wouldn't call it weaseled either, Dale. I'd call it more like bribed.
Yeah, there you go. Well, bribe and first cash, of which I have none of, so that's probably not exactly accurate either.
Toby really makes this thing work.
I guess Dead Zed will be stopping by very shortly, I hope, and we want to talk a little bit more. Driller Killer, a bad movie, but a good concept. How many films? Gosh, a lot of them, horror films, and even some that don't quite fit the horror genre, had these wonderful, wonderful murders with various types of tools, whether it be hammers, nail guns, shovels, maybe even a chainsaw. I'd like to talk about them a little bit. For me, one of the first films that, you know, featured a power tool, at least, in the premise of the film was Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the original Tobe Hooper. Film. That's
yeah.
funny because
you
Slash Toby Cooper.
Exactly.
But
you're right. Texas
very
Chainsaw,
chilling
yeah,
to use a power tool like that to hack somebody up into pieces.
I don't know if he wasn't hugged enough as a child or what it was, but that's a really personal way to get in there and kill somebody is with a power tool. You know, that says I need therapy. But I'm too afraid to get it, so I don't know. Something's not right with them.
One thing about Texas Chainsaw, I remember probably the second time I seen it was at a midnight theater. I had taken my then fiance, now ex-wife, my first wife, to a midnight showing of Texas Chainsaw Massacre. She lasted about a half an hour and ran screaming out of the theater, and I couldn't understand it because fans of the movie that know it very, very well realize that the violence was more implied than shown.
Yeah.
You didn't really see the bone being cut, the parts being severed. There was a good deal of violence, but it was not as graphic as films are today.
Not at all. It was left to your imagination, and I really think that's what horror is lacking now. I could sit through a movie, and I'm not traumatized at all. It doesn't scare me. It's what your mind can do. So, yes, that movie was extremely frightening for me to see as a kid because it was my imagination telling me what was going on and scaring the crap out of me. It wasn't seeing someone being actually hacked to death with a chainsaw.
Dave and I did a show about Alfred Hitchcock several months ago now, and one of the things he said was that your mind can scare you far more than anything I can put on the screen.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that is, in my opinion, the sign of a great filmmaker or a great writer, you know, when they can, you know, they scare you without, like, you know, the use of seeing some guy throw a hacksaw through someone's head or whatnot. It's the mind, and I believe that 100%.
Yep.
I think Edgar Allan Poe was the first one to kill somebody with a power tool.
The
Pit and the Pendulum.
Ah.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Absolutely.
Just my thoughts there.
Surely not electronically driven, but much like the workings of a clock that that device that kept lowering and lowering. And again, it was the suspense that was chilling far more than anything that may actually happen.
Yeah.
That pendulum, boy. That
laying there watching that come down slowly, you know, it just, oh, man.
Yeah, I mean, without getting into reality with, you know, like the Spanish Inquisition with things like thumb screws and Iron Maidens and things like that, but in in fiction, I think you're right. It would seem that Edgar Allan Poe might have drew first blood, as we might want to say.
Well, when you think of people that use power tools, honestly, or garden equipment or anything like that, Jason comes to mind the most for Friday the 13th. I think he's used everything from a weed whacker to hedge clippers to, a pitchfork, you name it, machete, and he's used it. So not only can he take care of your lawn, he can get rid of any pesky teenagers, you know, that you might need getting rid of. So
yeah,
he's versatile.
Especially if they're doing nasty, dirty, horrible things that teenagers shouldn't do.
Right.
But we all tried
right.
We all tried to. as teens. Heck, a whole series, motion picture series, was based on killings. The Saw series.
Yes.
With the serial killer Jigsaw. Saw being his tool of choice, but many others were used in the films too.
Absolutely, and that was the thing. They were traps, different types of materials and tools and things of that nature to make these traps. And, you know, Jigsaw, played by the great Tobin Bell, it just – he had a really eerie and ominous way about him. And all he basically did was just, you know, talk, set you up in these traps, and he talked. And it scared it scared me. It gave me, you know, the willies. So it's just – I think with the new one coming out and how oversaturated the market is for blood and guts and gore and this and that, I really would like to see, like we were speaking earlier, you know, that something make a comeback where it's using your mind to scare you and not these over-the-top visual effects.
Yeah. There was a movie that was all about tools called The Toolbox Murders from 1978, another low-budget gem that they used a drill, a hammer, a screwdriver, and even a nail gun to take out the victims. One of my favorite tools is the wood chipper. Much like Tucker and Dale versus Evil from 2010, I think almost comedically the wood chipper was used in the movie Fargo. Remember Fargo?
Oh, don't you know? Yeah. Francis, what is her name? I can't think of her name. Francis, but I do remember. Yeah, I remember that movie.
Yeah, you know, the guy had to take care of someone and just put him in pieces, and the fun began.
Very simple. There was actually even a movie called The Garden Tool Murders. It was very low budget, cheesy effects. But what it was is he'd like to plant people in the ground and then run their heads over with lawnmowers. So, you know, there's that's one way to take care of your lawn, I guess.
Another film that comes to mind, it's quite gory. But in this case, I like the gore because it was used for comedic effect. It's one of Peter Jackson's early films called Dead Alive. And
yes.
And it was sort of a zombie apocalypse type film. And the funniest scene, to me at least, it tells you a little bit how morbid I can be. Our hero picks up a lawnmower, picks it up.
Yep.
And just charges at the dead with this lawnmower going.
dead clippings everywhere.
Yes. I've never seen anybody that use an edger. Has an edger ever been used in a horror film?
Well, Jason used something close to what I would consider an edger. I believe it was Friday the 13th, part 7. It looks close to an edger, but I don't think that would definitely, you know, it's up in the air. We'd have to review it ourselves and see what we think.
Yep. I guess lawnmowers were used more than once in Saw 3D.
Yeah.
Lawnmower blades were used with an overturned lawnmower, I guess.
Yes,
abusive lover Alex gets knocked into the pit of overturned lawnmowers. The pit tested his abused lover against him. Alex lost.
The pitchfork seems to be overused quite a lot. A lot of your, I guess, hillbilly type murderers and things of that nature, you know, that seems to be their go-to weapon of choice.
And how many of us
they're handy.
How many of us have a pitchfork in our garage? Just take a little poll right here. Do you have one in your garage, Dale?
I used to have a pitchfork. I do not any longer have one.
Okay. I don't have one.
I had it when I lived in the city, but now that I live in the country, I do not have a pitchfork. That's kind of odd.
I actually have a pitchfork, so I...
You really?
Well, actually, my father does, but yeah, it's he has probably every tool you can think of. And, yeah, there's a pitchfork right now. I know where it is.
Lovely.
I guess I got to see if I ever decide to, you know.
You know, one of these days they're going to run out of things in the shed and they'll have to use kitchen utensils like a toaster and a Mr. Coffee to kill people off with.
The day someone uses a Keurig to kill somebody, I would a Keurig, that would probably take the cake for me.
Into the espresso machine you go. I'm going to make a frappe out of you.
This one's extra chunky. Love it. Yum.
I'm glad Ed Wood's not listening.
Or Tim Burton, for that matter.
More and more people coming into the chat. J.D. Riddle, 253, guest 247, and guest 256, rather. Thanks for joining us. Gil Girl likes the movie Dead Alive, and she also mentions Bad Taste, another Peter Jackson film. Very good. Oh. yikes. Yeah, there's a tool we're not going to mention. Thanks, J.D. Riddle. We're not going to mention that on the air. But it's a certain adult device. Josh mentions he's got four. I think he was responding to our use of the pitchforks. And he has one from the 11th century. Is that right?
What, he's a pitchfork
collector?
He's a pitchfork collector? I didn't know pitchforks were collectibles.
I think anything from the 11th century is collectible.
So let me ask you, gentlemen, then, if you guys were going to go on a psychotic rampage and had to pick a gardening tool or just tool in general, what would you pick?
I would say maybe the salad fork, but I can never figure out which one is the salad fork and which one is the dinner fork.
I see. I get confused with the shrimp fork. That one throws me off.
But the shrimp one's smaller, so I that one I can figure. But then it's hard. That's a little smaller. It's harder to stab somebody with that.
That's true.
So say, what's your problem, you know?
I prefer the old-fashioned auger. An auger.
The auger. Nice. Yeah.
Yeah, it's that device that has like an offset handle, and it works kind of like a drill. You can drill into trees with it, like if you need to.
Yeah, but
in fact,
ain't that pretty big and bulky, Dale?
It just would be fun.
Forget
it. Just would be fun.
We just want to have fun.
Yeah. The horror aspect, especially if you have your victim, you know, tied down or restrained in some way, it would be just a lot of fun. There'd be some screaming there.
So what you're saying, Dale? So what you're saying, Dale, is ghouls just want to have fun.
Yes.
Like Cyndi Lauper says.
Ghouls just want to have fun.
Dale, you're scaring me. You went. I thought we were going in for some joking answers, man. And you know, you go straight with the serious auger. You need a help, buddy.
That's why you can't ask Dale questions like that.
Well, I have fond memories of an auger. I grew up to this nut job.
Yeah.
When you're a young kid, when you have a guy like this next door, it's the most fun thing in the world. He is what you call a pyrotechnic, not a pyromaniac, a pyrotechnic. This was on the days when the ghoul was putting boom booms in models that people sent him, you know, on his horror-hosted show. This
right.
guy next door had an inexhaustible supply of firecrackers and also fuse, underwater fuse. He told me that when he was a kid, he sent for a sample of underwater fuse, figuring he's going to get maybe a foot or two of this fuse. There was
right.
a foul up at the factory. You know those giant spools they bring telephone cables on?
Yeah.
That's what they drove up to his house with. Now,
good
this
Lord.
Guy was a bit of a scientist. He would cut different lengths of it and time how long it would take to burn 1 foot, 2 foot. And he would make these incredible displays with inch and a half firecrackers, cherry bombs, M80s and things like that, and put lengths of fuse to set them off all timed up. It'd be like crack, 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 boom, boom, crack, 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 pow, pow. Just amazing stuff. Well, the most fun thing he did, he would take a section of pipe, crimp it on one end tight, drill a little hole in it, fill it with little sections of this fuse. Just, you know, he'd cut like little half-inch sections of the fuse and just stuff it in there. And then he'd put like a 6-inch piece of fuse in the little hole he drilled, put putty around, and then very carefully crimped the other end of the pipe. You know what he made. It's a good old pipe bomb. He would
all
then
right.
take an auger and drill it into a tree that was at least, you know, had a 3-foot trunk. You know, put the auger in at least a foot in there. Stick in the pipe
right.
bomb, light the fuse, and run like hell. Do you know how much fun it is for a kid to see the middle of a tree get blown out?
Yeah. Did you live next to, like, a supervillain? Where I feels like that's what that story is like the becoming of a supervillain. I don't know.
No, he was actually a very mild and peaceful guy, but he would laugh like a loon when he was blowing stuff up, and it was a great guy to grow up next to.
That's why you got to watch out for those quiet ones. You know, you got that big spool, and the wire was free, but, man, the delivery charge was a killer.
Yeah. Wow, that's a great story, Dale.
Jacques says, Acme kids. There's somebody
Wiley
who's seen
Coyote.
A few Roadrunner cartoons.
Yes. Oh, Lord. I didn't.
I always, when I was a kid, I wanted to know, where is Acme? I need to buy this stuff.
Then you realize it's right here in Acme.
Yeah.
I was a crazy kid, too. You remember ST's rockets, those little model rockets? You know, you buy the rocket engine and you shoot them up in the air and they'd parachute down. Well, I didn't want them to parachute down. Oh, no. I removed the nose cone, put in a shotgun shell and a nail for a firing pin so it was top heavy. When it came down, you had a nice surface to surface missile.
Oh, man.
Erie House does not condone this type of activity for your children.
How was it for you when you got out of the reformatory, Dale?
I never got caught. I always lived near the woods so you could run like hell and never get caught. Great.
And that was the first time I was arrested for demolition in a closed area. Yeah.
Now, as a horror host, I regret not having filmed this stuff. That would have been awesome.
I would pay to see it, Dale. If you had it, I would pay to see it.
The only cool thing I ever did like that for Spook Show was blowing the head off of a rubber chicken in effigy when LeBron James left Cleveland. I painted a 23 on the chicken's chest and blew off its head.
What are you going to do next year when he leaves? When his contract's up?
No, he's going
to
resign.
I'll have to come up with something great.
All right, you let me know so I can watch.
Absolutely. We will certainly advertise the heck out of that. We got a fun radio show coming up. But before we do, I think maybe Dead Zed ought to come by for a visit. What do you think, Tony?
I think we can get him to see what's going on with him. I think he's coming back in. Give me 1 second. I'll see what he's doing. Hey, Zed, what are you doing over there? What do you want? Hey, come here, man. They want to talk to you on the phone. Come here. All right. Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey, Dead Zed, welcome to Erie House Radio.
Oh, thanks. You're making me blush. I was in the middle of delivering some schmuck over here. He needed a ride. He stiffed me on my price, but you know what? That's all right. I know where he lives. Anyways, have you guys seen the show yet?
No, it's coming up yet, right after our broadcast here.
Oh, it's coming up next. Okay, that's great. You guys are going to be in for a treat. You might want to turn your volume up a little bit because I wasn't sounding like myself. I had this horrible toothache, and it was killing me through this entire thing. But we got it resolved. You know, you'll see everything and how it plays out. I really hope you guys enjoy it. We put a lot of time and effort into this. The Mutt, you know, he's a real stickler for things, and he thinks he's some kind of Scorsese. What's that guy's name? Scorsese? Patrick Swayze? No, Martin Scorsese. That's it. He thinks he's some kind of – that's it. I think he's more like Patrick Swayze, but that's just me. But I hope he's not listening. But, we did a lot of fun things, and we think you guys are going to like it.
Well, if Slash wants to help you with your – I don't know if you were listening just a little bit earlier here when we were talking to Tony. Next time you have a sore tooth like that, I have an idea for Slash to help you extract it. It'll be a blast.
Okay. What's your idea?
Does it include any power tools?
Look, I can't recommend that because that mutt came at me with a drill. He came at me with a hammer and a crowbar, and you'll see exactly what happened. And No. You guys aren't coming anywhere near my mouth with any of that stuff. Don't trust any.
We have
guys.
A way of dealing with things in Cleveland. We call them boom booms over there. Zed. I have not seen, you know, Driller Killer show in its entirety, but I'm looking forward to it because you and Slash have put up some great promotional announcements up on Facebook, and I've been looking forward to this.
Well, we're glad to show you guys, and we're really trying hard to bring you guys the best shows that we can. Sometimes, you know, it's hit or miss, and the Driller Killer, it's not one of my best. I know I told him I'd bring him the best movies possible, but this one – I was, like I said, the tooth. I was feeling under the weather. Ma wasn't home, so I couldn't have her recommendation from the movie. Yeah, it's my flub. But you'll enjoy it nonetheless.
I'm sure we will.
And if you don't, I don't care. So that's whatever.
That's a good attitude.
Because
that's very New York of you.
That is a healthy attitude, yes.
I don't care what you guys like. It's about what I like. That's right.
So how's the cab fare business? You making any money?
Not really. This Uber stuff is killing me. They're undercutting my business. It's terrible. I thought fighting with the cabbies in New York was bad. You try fighting with one of these uppity millennial Ubers from up in Bloomington. Oh, my gosh. It's terrible. You can't call them anything insulting nowadays because you never know. You can't call them a guy because it might be you never know what they identify as. It's just terrible. I was around in the 70s. It's just I just don't know what to do.
What are you driving?
What
kind of vehicle? Are you using an old Checker cab or
1975 Volkswagen Beetle.
That's your cab?
It's got the taillight. Yeah. See, what you do is anything. You can use a horse and buggy. You can paint it. As long as you paint it yellow, it's a cab. It works. I don't know if you know this or not. But, yeah.
Well, you could probably put a lot of clowns in your car.
No, Zed doesn't like clowns. He's had a bad experience when he was a little ghoul. He doesn't like clowns.
Well, I
get the reference.
And not to get personal, but I understand you're deceased. Sorry about that. How exactly did you pass on?
Well, that's a funny story. And what it was is, for some reason, I got a call for a fare down here in Indiana. And, you know, it was a long drive. I was hungry. I was sleepy. And I was parked in front of this train tunnel. I was waiting for my fare. And I was shoving my face full of hot dogs. And I seen this bright light coming at me, and I heard this horn, and I thought it was the big guy upstairs himself speaking to me. And I drove right into the bright light, and next thing you know, I end up in this damn graveyard. I thought it was God. It turned out to be a train.
It was the super chief.
I couldn't turn out the way. I had my hands full of chili dog sauce. It was slippery. I couldn't grasp the wheel. Next thing you know, I woke up and I'm looking at this mutt, and he now tells me that I am stuck here with him.
So being a dead cabbie, do you have, like, are there restrictions where your cab won't go past a certain parameter or something because you're limited to space or something?
Well, you see, it just all depends on the fare. For the right price, Zed will go anywhere, but he's not entirely trapped to the graveyard. Sometimes he'll do some promotional things of that nature for Graveyard Tales. As a matter of fact, me and the mutt, we're going to be up at Horror Hound in Indy in September. So it depends on what it is, you know, but mainly I do stay in the graveyard, but I am not limited.
So have fair will travel.
Exactly. You get it, my friend. I just I'm stuck with this mutt.
I just didn't know what your parameters were, because some people have to stay like within a house or a certain area or a block or something, and I just wondered if you were kind of stuck within the zone. But
my zone is the mutt. I'm stuck with him. He has to be with me. We have to be together. That is my punishment, I guess. That's what happens for being a Yankees fan my entire life.
Now, you got a very, very old car. Does it have a very old radio in it?
Oh, it does. It doesn't even have 8-track. It just gets AM, FM. That's all it is. It's very old. And we keep it tuned right to the station that plays all the old classics, Sinatra all the way.
We have an old classic radio show for you, if you don't mind, Ed Zed. It's an episode of The Black Museum, and it fits right into our topic today. The title is called The Claw Hammer, and I think Dave has a little bit of information about it.
A little bit. Actually, Black Museum was one of the first probably truly international radio programs. You had some that would syndicate either their name or actually sell their scripts to other countries who would produce them. But this was a program that would play in many places, just in London, and played in the UK, also ran over here through the Mutual Radio Network. Here it was on January 1st, 1952 through June 24th, 1952, and then September 30th, 1952 through December of 30th of 1952. It also, after that, was broadcast on Radio Luxembourg. I'm pretty sure I also read that it had been played in South Africa. So it wasn't that they sold the scripts and other people acted them out. This was the same program, and it's, of course, was hosted by our very own Orson Welles, who did a lot of work in Europe, mostly rounding up money to work on the films that he had a hard time ever finishing. And the particular episode we have today is episode – it's hard to get a broadcast date because people were airing them at different times. But this was program number 11 of the Black Museum, and it's titled The Clawhammer.
Let's listen to part one. We'll be right back in about 30
minutes. This is Orson Welles, speaking from London. The Black Museum. Here in the grim stone structure on the Thames, which houses Scotland Yard, is a warehouse of homicide, where everyday objects like a sugar bowl, an ashtray, a portable radio, all are touched by murder. There's a hammer. A hammer, that's a familiar object. Everybody's used one at some time to drive a tack, a pour a nail, or loosen a window sash, or what have you. Nearly everybody has at one time or another taken part in a conversation like this.
Beg pardon, ma'am. Could you pass me my hammer?
Your hammer? Oh, yes, of course.
Thank you, ma'am.
You're not going to use that hammer on the tiles over my fireplace.
No, ma'am. Not on the tiles over the fireplace.
Well, today, a hammer, an ordinary hammer, but with a very strange story attached to it, can be found in the Black Museum.
From the annals of the Criminal Investigation Department of the London Police, we bring you the dramatic stories of the crimes recorded by the objects in Scotland Yard's Gallery of Death, the Black Museum.
Scotland Yard's Museum of Murder. Yes, within this room is proof that anything and everything may be part of homicide. Yes, here lies death. Death entombed in glass. Death on endless shelves. Murder on exhibition. Tabulated, indexed, guarded, filed. Here's a length of wire. Wireless antenna, sleek, shining, coppery, designed to bring pleasure to the human ear. This wire missed the ear. Instead, it was wrapped around a soft, white neck. Twisted. Perfect garrote. Here's a cigarette lighter. It's dainty. Jeweled, monogrammed, stolen from its proper owner, and then flicked, lighted, applied to no cigarette. The victim had a bad heart. Who was to know this? Question. Was it murder? Answer, yes. Ah, here we are, the hammer. It's a claw hammer with two curved blades designed for pulling nails. It's heavy, well-balanced, perfect tool. One Saturday morning, it rested in a canvas bag. The owner rang a doorbell in Oxford.
Sorry, ma'am. Did I take you by surprise?
Well, yes. You see, I was expecting a friend of mine, and Well, to see a young man standing there when you're expecting an elderly lady...
Nothing to take amiss, ma'am. My card.
Oh? Oh, thank you. James Knight. House repairs while you wait. Oh, well, thank you, but there's nothing wrong with my house.
That's what everybody says. Only I don't mean the house itself. I mean the household. Furniture and the like. It's the little things gets people talking.
Well, I'm sure I don't need anything done.
Now you take your doormat, ma'am, right there. Look, along the edges. The binding's going. You notice it now? A stitch in time, as the saying goes, and you'll not be needing a new mat in 6 months.
Well, I do declare. You're right.
Now, ma'am, if you'd just let me check your house, I'd be willing to bet I'd found a dozen little items. Cost you a few pence now, help me to earn my living and save you pounds later. Can I come in, ma'am? Thank you.
You are a smooth talker, aren't you, young man?
Oh, I need to be in my business. Now, if you'd just show me your living room...
Through the portiere, right there.
Yes, a very nice room. Blends with your personality, if I may say so. Now then, right to work. Tools down. Well, we'll just look about. I'll bet anything you want, I find a dozen things need fixing.
Now he's inside. He notes the room. He's well aware of the brass crucifix on the mantelshelf, the prissy draperies at the windows, the antimacassars on the mahogany-framed horsehair chairs. It's almost a museum.
Now you take this chair, ma'am. The leg's loose, bound to be. The glue dries out. The wood shrinks, you know.
Well, I never noticed.
You wouldn't, ma'am. Takes an expert's eye. A drop of glue today saves a new chair tomorrow. And they don't build furniture like this nowadays.
No, I dare say they don't. Oh, dear, it's my telephone.
No one to answer it.
Well, the girl who stays with me has gone to the country. Bank holiday weekend. She won't be back till Monday night.
Well, you just answer it. I'll be all right. Oh, beg pardon, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
Could you pass me my hammer?
Your hammer? Oh, yes, yes, of course.
Oh, thank you, ma'am.
You're not going to use that hammer on the tiles over my fireplace.
Oh, no, ma'am. Just tap them with the wooden handle. See if they're loose anywhere. Oh, you can trust me, ma'am. You just answer your telephone.
Oh, dear, yes, of course, the telephone. Hello? Why, Caroline.
Mrs. Golden, that's her name, answers the telephone. The young man in the living room, front room to Mrs. Golden, taps the tiles merrily, and then he stops. He looks around, looks at things, and quickly in a few things. He shuts the desk just as...
Oh, dear, this is a disappointment. Something's wrong with my friend's card. She can't come for me after all, and it is such a nice day.
Oh, that is too bad. But not too inconvenient. Now I can really get some work done.
Oh? You found a lot of things to repair?
About £50 worth.
But you said... Only a few pence today.
That was earlier. Now it's going to cost you £50 to get me out of this house.
I don't understand.
I think you do. You know, I know you had £50 in the mail yesterday. You told a couple of your girlfriends, and I heard about it. Now then, Grandma, hand it over.
You get out of here. Well, I'll call the police.
£50, here.
I will call...
Don't try anything. Oh, I'm between you and the phone now. Now pay up, Grandma, or I'll have to beat it out of you.
You wouldn't. You couldn't. No. Put the hammer away.
You heard me. I'm through asking now. Now, where's the money?
I didn't really get it. I was just boasting.
Cut it. Put down that vase.
I won't. Stay away from me. Keep away.
Put it down.
Throw it. Keep
that
away.
Did it.
Keep away.
Fight with me, will you? You haven't had enough, have you? Try this one, and this one, and this one.
Bank holiday in Oxford. No one due home until Monday evening. Someone tried late Sunday. Whoever it was kept trying, but only the bell sounded in the empty house. Empty? Was it filled with death? Monday morning, a man, somewhat younger but not much than Mrs. Golden, parked his middle-class car in front of the house in Oxford. He had a worried expression on his face as he walked up the few steps and pressed the doorbell. Again he tried. No answer. Ran down the steps, around the back. Knocked on the back door. Nothing. Nothing but the sound of his own fists beating the thin panels. Now he is upset. He peers in at the kitchen window. Finally, he wraps his hand in his muffler, as he's seen them do in the movies, and punches a hole in the window. He reaches in, unlocks the window, lifts the sash, and climbs in. He walks through the house toward the front. Silence, save for his own strangely empty footsteps. At the portieres in the arch which lead to the living room, he stops.
Good heavens! What's this? It's blood! Operator, please, hurry! Put me through the Scotland Yard. There's been a... My sister's been murdered!
Well, that's how it comes, you know. First a bitter shock, the cry on the telephone, the hurried, incoherent report, and then the cars racing through the streets, pulling up, the men piling out, invading a once peaceful home.
Mrs. Golden was your sister, Mr. Bevan.
That's right. I can't understand it, Inspector. I just can't.
I know how you must feel. And you want to help us all you can.
Of course, of course.
Well then, time is very often the essence. I'll have to ask you a few questions right away.
I'll try to answer them.
You told us you broke the back window yourself, right?
Yes, that's right. When she didn't answer the phone Sunday evening, I began to worry. I drove here this morning. The doors were locked and no one answered the bell. I broke in. I suppose I should have called a constable, but I didn't...
I understand. Tell me, Mr. Bevan, did your sister have any enemies?
Of course not.
Oh, pardon me, Inspector. We found this under the crucifix on the mantel. It's £50.
Thank you, Sergeant. Apparently robbery was the motive. Mr. Bevan, do you happen to know where your sister would get £50?
She had a small income. Perhaps the money was a dividend.
Preliminary medical report, Inspector.
Go ahead, Doctor.
Well, death occurred about 48 hours ago. Make it Saturday in the morning. We'll tell more after the autopsy.
Saturday. 2 days' start on us. Go on, Doctor.
She was struck on the head by a blunt instrument several times. A hammer, something of that sort. But the fellow was taking no chances. Her carotid artery was severed by something very sharp. That's why the blood.
Whoever it was, well, it looked very professional, the way the place was ransacked. We've nothing much here. But shall we have a go at it, Sergeant?
Well, they had a go at it, the inspector and the sergeant. There's nothing in the woman's house. Not even a smudged fingerprint. But, as Sergeant Marshall put it...
I've seen this sort of thing before. Looks like a house-to-house canvasser to me, Inspector.
It has that familiar feel about it. Routine, Sergeant.
Routine. Door to door, up and down the street. Questions, questions, questions.
Did a canvasser call here Saturday morning, ma'am? Leave a card or anything?
Do you remember anyone ringing the bell to leave a card, sir? Wanting to do repair work?
Thank you, miss. Yes, you've been quite helpful.
Five houses up the street, five down the street. And strangely enough, results.
A bit too careful, Mr. Knight.
Too careful, Inspector?
And too smart for himself. He left his card at all the houses on the street, and this one in the middle, he picked up the card before he left Saturday morning. Foolish. Bound to attract attention to himself.
Knight. James Knight. It's familiar.
Joe Knowles. His favorite alias is James Knight.
Oh, I remember now, sir. 2 years in Dartmoor. Assault and battery on an elderly lady.
Right. Well, call for a car, Sergeant. We may as well check the address on this card.
Mr. Knight? Oh, yes. You used to live here.
I see. Used to live here.
Well, been packed up and gone these 2 months now. Quiet sort of fella, though I didn't cotton to him much.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you very much.
Welcome, I'm sure.
Not 2 days behind, Inspector. 2 months.
We're not doing too badly, Sergeant. We know when and how he got in. We know how he committed the crime, and we've got a good idea who he is. Not too badly, Sergeant.
No, not too badly. But the inspector forgot to mention the most important clue of all. The murder weapon. That selfsame hammer, which can be seen today in the Black Museum.
Whoa, yeah, it's a little glitchy here, but we're back. Here with Dead Zed and my partner, Dave Binkley.
Hey, just another couple quick things about the Black Museum, because we have talked about this before. Of course, it was recorded in 51 and aired in 52 and 53, but it had a life that continued on through offered in syndication through the Armed Forces Transcription Service and through NPR stations throughout the 60s, 70s, and 80s, and some shows were broadcast on the BBC in England in 1994. So there was life beyond the original airing of the series of Black Museum.
It's a cool show. It's still a little chilling today. And, of course, to my mind, Orson Welles does good stuff.
I know when Orson Welles was talking about the hammer, I think even when he said, ooh, or something like that.
It's very descriptive. It's very spine-tingling. I thought it was.
I was just during the broadcast, I was trying to think of a few power tools that Hollywood hasn't used yet that we should, so they don't get too repetitive, that they could try. There's an electric paint roller, a battery-powered screwdriver, an air compressor, or a plumber's snake. You know, these are things Hollywood hasn't used yet.
Oh, so, no, I think a couple of those were used in porn, but not in horror films.
That's not really Hollywood.
Well,
you should be watching You should be watching those movies without me, Dale.
since you guys just brought it up, I got some bad news for you. Actually, it's more bad news for you, listener. Zed is officially off the market. I don't know. Ever since I've been a part of this Graveyard Tales thing, my social media, my dating site, everything's been blowing up. And tonight you'll get to meet Mrs. Dead Zed, LaMonica. Not Harmonica.
Oh, how nice.
LaMonica. She is the apple of my pie.
So wait a minute. You're dead and you still didn't realize you don't have to marry her?
No one's talking about that M word yet. The bad thing is she doesn't have any arms, so I can't put a ring on it.
Oh, okay. Well, we don't usually have to put them on our things, but we usually end up with one through our nose. So.
Oh well, yeah, that's true. She ain't got no legs either, so be prepared. But I tell you what, she's quite the looker.
What? Because she only has an eye, or what?
No, she got two good eyes. Don't worry, you'll see. I'm excited for you guys to meet her. She has really put the spark back in the old cabbie's life. Let me tell you what.
So wait. She's no arms and no legs.
I can't imagine
what happened. I'm stumped.
Really, that is very insensitive of you, Dale. I just want you to know that even though she has no arms and legs, she makes fantastic cookies, and now you don't get any.
Oh man, I'm diabetic.
You
okay.
know what? Dale put me in that category too, because if she doesn't have any arms and she doesn't have any legs, I don't want to know how she makes her cookies. So you know, it's I'm out.
She uses her mouth a lot.
Nah, that's why I said I'm out. I'm out.
Yeah, no. Yeah, this could take a nasty turn.
Never mind. That's what she said.
Yeah. The goings on in the Volkswagen. Oh my.
You know what they
say. Now we know why you
don't
use the Volkswagen.
When the cab's rocking, well, I usually drop the cheese dog, and that's what I'm going after.
Wow. Was that a metaphor?
It is. It's a bumper sticker. If you see my cab rocking, it's usually because I dropped the chili dog, and I'm trying to get it.
Okay.
Oh my. So we heard part one of the claw hammer. When we come back, if you could tell us a little bit about why you did what you did to Driller Killer, and what Graveyard Television is. We want to hear about that after part two of the Black Museum, the Clawhammer. We'll be back in just under 12 minutes.
It looked like a long haul. 2 months behind and no trace. Not a thing to place him in Oxford on the Saturday of bank holiday. The calling cards, true, but they might have been left any time. And one confused witness would make any jury doubt the exact pinpointing of the date. Still, the man had to be found. Scotland Yard began its long, steady, methodical routine.
Circulate Knight's description from his prison record. Have prints made of his picture. Somebody will remember him somewhere. They always do.
Somebody did. The landlord of a tavern in Oxford, half a mile from the house where death had struck that Saturday morning.
I remember that fella. Certainly do.
You're sure now?
Positive. Come in here, looked like he needed a drink. Took two whiskies, straight. One right after the other. Was carrying a tool bag of some kind, I think.
How long did he stay?
Just till a bus stopped outside. He threw the price on the bar and hopped the bus, real quick-like.
Do you happen to know where the bus was headed?
Aylesbury. No other bus stops right outside that door.
A break in the luck. Aylesbury. The town was investigated, to all practical intents and purposes. And before long, Inspector Graham and Sergeant Marshall were in the lobby of a small rundown hotel talking with a combination desk clerk and telephone operator.
Do you remember Mr. Knight, Miss Marsh?
Oh, I do that. Of course, he's not the kind I'd pay much attention to. But I remember him all right. Is he in trouble?
Why do you ask?
Oh, well, sort of. Well, you know how it is. A man leaves here sudden-like after being in and out for a couple of months. Then a couple of fellows come looking for him. Well, you wonder, that's all.
We're from Scotland Yard, miss.
Oh, then he is in trouble.
Maybe, maybe not. We'd like a look at his room.
I'll show you. Just one flight up. Davy, watch my board. I'm busy. This way, gentlemen.
An obliging girl, Miss Marsh. Complete with pass key, she ushered the men up the worn stairway along the dim hall. She fitted the key, swung open the door.
There you are, Inspector.
Thank you, miss. Seems to have left a bit of baggage, Inspector.
So he has. This is Knight's, isn't it, miss?
Oh, didn't I mention it? Oh, he said he'd probably be back. So would I mind if he left his bag, even though he didn't want to keep on with the room rent? So I left it here, just in case he came back before we let the room.
Nice of you. Open it, Sergeant.
Not locked. Well, careless type of fellow.
A new hammer. Nothing much else. Look around, Sergeant. Look around.
Yes, sir. Oh, funny. This book, sir, in the bag. A dictionary.
I dare say Knight isn't a bookworm. It's odd. It's a dictionary. Look a bit further, Sergeant.
Yes, sir.
Anything familiar about this, Miss Marsh?
I was waiting for you to ask me, sir. It's mine. He borrowed it one night after he came in with the newspapers.
Oh, newspapers?
Oh, yes, sir. He was a great one for the papers, especially the Globe News. He'd been a fury if we didn't save one for him at the desk.
I see. Did he do much writing up here?
Well, now that you mention it, sir, he did. Lots of letters, always to the papers. Do you suppose he wrote those Dear Editor things?
No, I doubt that, but I have a fair idea what he did write. Anything else, Sergeant?
Not a thing, sir. Clean as a whistle. Back to the yard, sir.
Back to the yard?
Odd, the man said. Odd indeed. A hammer which may be a murder weapon side by side with a dictionary. Possible killer writing letters to the editor. Or were they letters to the editor? Inspector tackled the hammer first.
Canvass every ironmonger and hardware dealer in Oxford. Find out which carries this make of hammer. Check their sales slips for that particular Saturday. Try to jog the salesman's memories. Find out where that hammer came from.
And then the dictionary, the newspapers, and the mail.
Ever look into the Globe News, Sergeant?
Sometimes, sir. I'm not much of a crossword puzzle fan myself.
Yes, Sergeant. Our Joe Knowles, alias James Knight, is obviously a crossword puzzle addict. I think we're due for a literary detail at the Globe News. with samples of our friend's handwriting from his prison record. Hop to it, Sergeant, and keep your eyes open.
It turned out to be quite a problem. 10,000 entries per week in the Globe News' puzzle contest were the average number. Not a pleasant prospect. Not at all. Stolidly, the crew from the yard started to go through 10,000 puzzles, checking against the photostatic copies of James Knight's handwriting. The second morning at the job.
Inspector Graham here.
Sergeant Marshall, sir, at the newspaper.
You found something, Sergeant?
Not in the file, sir. In the morning mail. From Brighton. An entry in the latest contest. Address, 912 Leader Street. Name of John Kinder. But there's no mistaking the handwriting.
They'll do it every time, won't they? Joe Knowles, James Knight, now John Kinder.
Yes, sir, I noticed. Always the same initials on the aliases. J.K. this time.
Bring the puzzle and the envelope. I'll have him picked up in Brighton. 912 Leader Street, you said?
912 Leader Street, Brighton, England. The order moved swiftly now on the teletype along the wires from the banks of the Thames across the North Downs to the South Downs to the famous resort city on the English Channel.
Open up in there. Quickly now, police.
No need for all the melodrama, sir. You were looking for me?
You're James Knight, also known as Joe Knowles and John Kinder.
You ought to know, officer.
You're wanted, Knight. You'll have to come along. I have to warn you, anything you say may be taken down and used in evidence against you.
You did a good job, Sultan, picking him up so quickly.
Oh, he came along with surprising quietness, sir.
The fellow probably knows we've little to build a case on.
Hello, what's this?
It looks like a hole in the floor, Sergeant.
I know, sir, but there's four more in the floor, sir. Square holes. Now, the floor is the ceiling of the room below.
Oh? Who lives below, Sultan?
The landlady. Eccentric soul. We've warned her several times. She will keep her rent money in a jar on the mantelpiece.
So that's why he watched her.
That's your theory, Sergeant?
Well, you can see every corner of that room, sir, through these holes. And they're recent. Well, the wood's still fresh and white, Inspector.
Square holes. Why?
When you dig a hole with a chisel, Sultan, you not only get a square hole, you also can keep the shavings from falling in the room below.
A chisel? Where would he have ditched it?
Possibly through the window when you knocked. A chisel, Sultan, is sharp enough to cut other things beside wood. A carotid artery, for instance. So you prepared a statement, Knight?
Yes, Inspector. I've been informed of the charge you may lodge against me. I'm told it entails a murder in Oxford on the Saturday of the bank holiday.
That's correct.
You'll find my movements for that day accounted for in my statement. It may be troublesome locating some of my witnesses, but I doubt if you all have much difficulty.
You were in that street in Oxford, though.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, indeed. Trying to make an honest living, sir.
No doubt. Strange you failed to leave a card at Mrs. Golden's.
I rang several times on my way up and down the street. No answer.
And you didn't push it under the door?
No. Cards are expensive, Inspector. I prefer to explain my business first and leave a card if there's any interest. You're, having this taken down, aren't you, Inspector?
You got all this, Sergeant?
Oh, yes, sir.
And we'll enter Knight's statement in the record also.
Yes, sir.
I see no reason for holding me any longer. Do you, Inspector?
You'll be quite comfortable. No rent to pay, Knight. Just until we check your alibi and find your witnesses. After that, Knight, well, we'll see. All right, Sergeant. Take this man back.
The end of a trail. The suspect perfectly at ease, willing, even slightly over-willing. But they held him anyway. There were still some loose ends to tie up. One of those ends might be the key to the puzzle. One of those ends just might be the end of a hangman's noose.
We've got a report on the hammer, Inspector.
At last, eh? Where? How?
An ironmonger in Oxford sold a hammer from his stock. Here's a sample. To a fellow answering Knight's description on bank holiday Saturday, sir. The sales slip is dated and the salesman is prepared to identify. The slip also includes a chisel.
I see. Seems identical to the one we've had. What's this label?
The salesman says it's all on this type. High-class steel forging.
Nothing on ours, is there?
Oh, no, sir.
Let's have a look in that valise we found the hammer in Adele's, bro.
Yes, sir.
An empty traveling bag. Just lint. A few tiny crumbs of something. They might have been dried dough or...
Even breadcrumbs, Inspector.
Or paper, Sergeant. Would you pass me the sponge there, the one for sealing envelopes? I think there's enough water in the dish.
Gently now, Inspector. Moisten the tiny pellets of dough-like substance on the glass top of your desk. Gently now. Roll them back and forth. Loosen them. Spread them out on the desktop. Slowly. Gently. Patiently. And then...
We'd better have this photograph, Sergeant. I doubt if we can preserve them for the trial.
Yes, sir.
We've broken his alibi. Knight was in Oxford that day. He bought the hammer. High-class steel forging. He should have burnt this label, Sergeant, not merely crumbled it in this way. I do believe our careful Mr. Knight, our clever, cooperative Mr. Knight, is going to be hung, and very shortly at that.
Well, today, that hammer, complete with its proper label, can be seen in the Black Museum. Inspector Graham was right. The hammer, plus the label, did hang James Knight. His alibi was broken by the salesman in the hardware store in Oxford who sold Jim Knight that hammer on the Saturday Mrs. Golden died. Inspector Graham needn't have worried about his case, nor need you worry about the hammer in your kitchen drawer. If there is any moral to this story beyond the inevitable lesson that criminals are nearly always caught, it's this. Be careful whom you let in your house when you're alone to demonstrate a new gadget or even to fix your furniture. Your visitor might mean death. And now, until we meet next time, in the same place, for another story about the Black Museum, I remain, as always, obediently yours.
Picture Orson Welles as being obedient. I don't know. Zed, before we say goodbye to you and get Tony back here, there's a segment we normally do here with our friend Gar the Ghoul, but he's not here, so therefore... Eerie House Radio presents A Garless Moral of the Story, presented by Dave Binkley.
When in murder, if at first you don't succeed, get a hammer. Simple as that.
One to live by. House Radio in a feeble attempt to try to match one Gar's moral of the story, a second, presented by Dale Kay. When you're the victim in a horror film, don't get hammered. And that's why we need Gar.
Yes. That only proves that two bad morals do not equal a Gar.
There you go.
There you go.
And two bushes in the hand will get you slapped or something. Thank you, Dead Zed, so much for showing up today and joining us and talking a little bit about yourself and the cab and Graveyard Tales.
And LaMonica.
Can you see if Tony's still around?
Yeah, I'll find him. Hold on 1 second. Hey, you know these guys, they want to talk to you. All right, give me the phone. Okay. Sorry about that. I apologize. Zed's a little rude. Like I said earlier, he can be very crude. He's going off to do Zed things with LaMonica, whoever the hell that is.
Oh, you haven't met LaMonica yet?
LaMonica? What? No, I don't know who she is. I've heard rumblings of this no-arm, no-legged woman, but I've never met her.
Did you have to notice if she had a nozzle in her back?
Oh, wow. pool start? What? I don't know. Anyways.
Pool start.
I
yeah.
Oh, goodness.
So.
Oh, wait, before you go too far, someone's joining us. Welcome to Erie House Radio. Thanks for calling in.
Oh, God.
Do re mi fa sol la ti do.
That
is the
king. Okay, that's it for our caller. Hiya, King.
Hey, King. Oh, I had such trouble getting... This thing just does not work that well. I couldn't log
on.
Yeah,
a lot of folks have been saying in the chat that the Blog Talk has been a little difficult as far as logging in, and we appreciate everybody's repeated efforts to get in here. Just to run the roster again, it's Evil Annie, Fogsbane, Gil Girl, Guest 306, Hey Laura, and Jacques de Nostre Chat. Thank you so much for listening live.
And don't forget,
and a very
don't
happy
forget,
Sim Salabim from Fogsbane for you, Kingy.
Yes, and Dale, don't forget that you are a Jacques supporter.
I am a Jacques supporter.
Okay.
A strapping young man. Okay, Tony. Tony. Yes, I am.
I'm,
oh, a strapping old man. Tony, tell us, please, if you will, a little bit more about tonight's show, Driller Killer, coming up in about 40 minutes, and a little bit more about Graveyard Tales.
Okay, basically, like the rundown, like I said, it's just it's Slash and Zed hosting these horror films. Some of them are going to be good, some of them are going to be not so good, and we all love a good cheesy, you know, B movie. But when it's so bad that it stinks out the entire joint, and that's saying something considering Zed the Round, we have to do a little something that we call GTV. And what GTV is, that's when Slash and Zed take over completely. And we bring you as much slapstick and laughs and just pure joy that we can to compensate for the horrible movie selection that Zed picked. Because, again, Zed can be lovable, but he's very, very dim-witted, and his movie choice selection sometimes is not that great.
Is this on Erie House TV now?
It'll be up coming up at 8:30, and unfortunately for anybody who's been watching for the last couple of hours, the schedule went off. We had a bad file not play, so the whole schedule is off. In fact, Dave's show is replaying from earlier this afternoon, King of the Zombies, right now.
That
will probably be interrupted at 8:30 when I reboot. We've got a whole plethora, again, more than two horror hosts galore. Starting out with Graveyard Tales, Driller Killer. Two episodes of Deadhead Daddy, our mutual friend. Then we're going to see some Meat Cleaver Theater, Ormsby, some weirdness, really bad movie skit, and even this idiot known as Dale Kay. So we've got a bunch of horror host shorts, about an hour's worth. About an hour and a half's worth, excuse me. And then later after that, Rigor Mortis presents The Terror. And then at 11:15, Lord Bloodra with Xantar, the Thing from Venus. And that's all tonight on Erie House Television. So
what an exciting schedule.
May I correct you, Dale?
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
A plethora is a large or excessive amount of something. Okay?
That's more than
not
two.
Unlike,
that's more than two.
No, it does not say that exactly. Now, but it does say excessive. In other words, if I were to attempt to warble a tune, that would be excessive, even if it was one.
Yeah,
wouldn't
you've got
worry?
A point.
Okay.
And your hair covers.
Exactly. I'm just goofing on you. We could be a gaggle of horror hosts. Could that work?
Maybe a giggle and a gaggle.
It depends on how comfortable the gaggle is.
Yeah.
Well,
you
not
guys,
too tight.
Not the first time. Yeah, well, I don't know about that, but you guys are definitely quackers.
Well, if it's a gaggle, none of you better try to goose me. We've got a little bit of time left here before the end of the show. End. Goose. Dave.
Yes.
Do you have any other appearances for Weirdness Really Bad Movie coming up soon?
Actually, on Monday at 9 p.m. on The Vortex. The Weirdness Really Bad Movie returns once again at 9 p.m. That is at horrorhost.net for the Vortex. And I will be there in the chat, chatting along with everyone, because I have no life and I have nothing else to do on Monday night. So I'll be there. You be there, too.
Perfect. And then next week, this coming Friday at 7:30 Eastern, we got a really nice show. Dave, you want to tell them a little bit about the Blue Beetle and what we can expect next week?
All you comic book fans may get a kick out of this as we return to the Blue Beetle, including the very the origin of the Blue Beetle. We'll have – it was a 15-minute really didn't run much more than late spring through up until September. But it was based on the comic book characters and starts off the first two – Frank Lovejoy, one of my favorite radio actors, was the Blue Beetle. And the first one is about the origin. Now, we're going to do three of these, and then we're going to do one episode of the Batman Mystery Club. And the reason we're going to do one is because I think that's about all there is in existence of that. So it'll be a really kind of a neat little superhero tribute to the Blue Beetle and to Batman. Next Friday on Eerie House Radio.
Superhero 101, a wonderful show will be featured every Saturday for the next several weeks at 8 a.m. as part of our Saturday morning fair on Eerie House TV. Ha-ha.
Wasn't Blue Beetle taken from another show? Carter spinoff or something?
No, it was taken from the comic books, DC comic books.
Okay. Mm-hmm. It seems to me like I read somewhere that the Blue Beetle was, somebody else jumped in and somebody said, okay, what can we come up with this? Something that might be similar. I could be wrong. I don't remember.
You could be. Hey, Tony, can you tantalize us any more about any upcoming productions of Graveyard Tales or GTV?
Well, next week we are actually probably next Wednesday or Thursday we're going to begin shooting episode 2, and I'll just say this: if you guys are into the circus, if you love peanuts and popcorn and sideshow attractions, then I'm promising you, you will love this movie and you will love what we have planned for you guys.
Well, I got plans.
Can't wait till that one comes out. We hope to.
Peanuts and Cracker Jack.
Stop that.
Okay, sorry.
We're looking forward to that, and hopefully we can premiere it here on Eerie House Television. I'm hoping. I hope.
We would be honored for you guys to do that. That would be – thank you very much. That would be great.
You can bet that we'll put a special place at prime time for you, because that's something I'm looking forward to. You guys do a very, very good show. And next week, I am also going to – I haven't shown one in probably a year. I'm going to pull out one of my old Dale K. Spook shows for next weekend. Probably back-to-back with a Weirdness Really Bad.
That's okay. You know, we get to see what us old guys do, Dale, and then we get to see what the young kids are doing now. You know, so that's a good thing. That's the magic of Eerie House Television.
Yeah.
Well, feedback, so, man. I really hope you guys – give us as much feedback as you can, and your listeners as well. We love constructive criticism, so please, as much feedback as you guys can.
You know, a great place to get that is tune into Eerie House, be there in the chat, and chat along with the viewers. They will. They'll come out, and they'll talk with you.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I plan on doing that tonight, so...
Excellent. So I'll have to do a reset at 8:30, gang. Again, sorry that the programming live stream gets a little glitchy, and if the file isn't perfect, sometimes we have these little faux pas. But fortunately, we didn't lose any horror-hosted shows. It was all unhosted stuff. And it gave us the opportunity to take a second look at Weirdness Really Bad, King of the Zombies, one of my favorite comics.
So you're going to tell me you're cutting out my show again, Dale, at 8:30. Is that what you're saying, Dale?
Well, it'll probably be interrupted. I think it's going to be in progress when we have to do the
reset. Okay.
Yeah.
That's okay, buddy.
But you got the full run at 10:30 this morning. Fogsbane loved it. He had some comments in the chat. Don't be miffed.
Hey, and Fogg's Bane said, looks like Gar's got a show on tonight. So if, you know.
Watch him there. Oh, check Facebook, gang. We're out of here, live audience. Thanks so much. Thanks,
see you guys,
Tony,
later.
And thanks, everyone. Bye-bye.
Good night, Gracie.
Good night, Gracie.
And just in time here for the after party, I got somebody else from Indiana. Is this who I think it is?
It's Slash.
Oh, that's what do you want?
Oh, sorry. I'm not,
you missed the live show,
the
but we're being recorded for folks who listen in the archive.
Oh, right. Hey, Mutt, what have you done with LaMonica?
LaMonica is in storage, pal. Keep her in there.
I seen the way you was looking at her last time. You better keep that dirty, flea-ridden paws off of her.
Yeah, I got nothing. I just literally just now got out of the car. I just stepped foot onto the ground and called you guys. It was going off the air.
At least you made it in, brother.
Timing.
At least you made it in.
It sounds like
I don't think we would have been able to take you if you'd called like 10 seconds later. Once the live portion's over, I don't believe we could take live caller or we can't take callers anymore. So good timing.
Nope.
You just made it.
Yeah, sounds like a central time zone problem to me.
Could be. How you guys doing?
It's an employment problem. You should have been here. I asked. Zed. When he told me, you know, how many hours he was working and stuff, I'm like, what? You're gainfully employed? Are you sure you're a horror host? I am going to get so much heat for that. You have no idea.
Yeah, you're gonna take some, bud.
Hey, we all like heat. I like heat, at least.
Oh, I've been taking a lot of heat lately, but what are you going to do?
I can think of a few things, but, you know, hey, that's just
me. I've been in tougher spots, trust me. we're looking forward to your show. We're probably going to kill this little bonus time here in about 13 minutes, so I have time to prep and get ready to reset the channel so that you can come on time at 8:30. I don't know if you missed any of the live broadcast, but we've got a melange, if not a plethora, of horror host skits and bits. We've got, of course, Graveyard Tales right at 8:30, followed by Deadhead Daddy, our mutual friend Deadhead Daddy, two episodes,
yep.
Episodes 4 and 5 of his video blog. If you've never seen Meet Cleaver Theater, very funny show, he's going to be talking about Galaxy of Dinosaurs, and you have to see Ormsby host. I got two of his skits in there. One, he actually sings. It's pretty frightening. A weirdness, really bad movie skit, and then this idiot named Dale Kay that nobody cares about. So.
Sounds like a fun time.
Yeah, sir.
Well, I hate to be a killjoy, but I've had the piss since like the minute we got on the air tonight. So I'm gonna do that and get ready to chat with all the guys at 8:30. And I just, like I said, I can't thank you guys enough. Like, you guys have been so great to us and to me. Thank you guys.
It's my pleasure. Believe me, it's our pleasure.
We really do believe in letting everybody have their spot and their voice, because we believe in this genre of movie hosting and however you host it, movie hosting. And it is we don't want this to die out.
No, it's not an exclusive secret club. It's not anything, one-upsmanship. It's just, hey, if you want to present what you got, we're all in. We're all in. You know, as long as there's not, like, you know, super adult themes or hate speech or dropping F-bombs all over the place.
Right.
You got a space on Erie House, TV and or radio.
Well, thank you.
Yep. Erie House is home for Graveyard Tales. That's for sure.
I agree 100%.
Cool.
I'm Dale. I just wanted to, I'm logged into the Erie House Television website, and right now it says there's no videos or upcoming events. You said you're going to reboot at 8:30.
It should be. Let me see here.
I'm pulling it up myself. There's an advertisement.
Yeah, I got that earlier too. When I checked it out, it was the same thing earlier.
Well, let's see what we got. Hold on. I'm going to reboot the live stream here.
Well, yeah, the weirdest room that movie is there. The King of the Zombies is there. There's Mike Mason, Al and I at this time. So what he's going to do is he's going to reboot this. Yeah, he does not have any extra videos there. There's still some work to do on the live stream. But the thing right now is that you got the live stream up and running and kind of working with the schedule there. That's all.
Yeah, okay. I don't know what you're seeing. It does seem to be streaming fine. The Weirdness Really Bad show is on for another 25 minutes at least. This is a great bit that's on right now. This is found a zombie car lot.
Yeah, it's called Zombie John's Killer Deals, and Al there is our zombie car salesman. Which is really cool because I didn't really know there was such thing as a zombie car. I guess it's like a clown car, but
this is a real thing. This is not a skit that he made up for the show. It's called Zombie John's Car Lot.
Yep.
Hey Dale, I have a question. I'm looking at the page and I can see what appears to be the zombie car lot, but it says this channel is not live. Only live streams and mobile compatible video clips appear on mobile devices. So can I not use my iPhone to view this or?
Yes,
no.
That's something I don't advertise enough. You can only watch on a desktop or a laptop. There's no app for live stream.
Gotcha.
That's
okay.
Why you're not getting the vision.
I think it's because of the flash video. That's why it doesn't want to work on the other.
Gotcha.
Yes.
Okay. Well,
sorry about that. I should have recognized that when
okay.
You said that.
That's okay, bud. So. But, yeah, I just wanted to check. All right, then. Well, I am going to, like I said, I'm going to get off here. Thank you guys again so much, and I will talk with you guys soon.
Very good.
Thanks
for
stopping by.
And we'll see
take
you in the chat
guys.
Room.
Yeah. Okay. This was fun. This was a really fun show. You guys must be very popular because we had a lot of visitors, some we've never seen before, some we haven't seen in a while, so I don't know if you're the reason they came or just happenstance that they had, but this was a nice turnout today.
It was a very nice turnout, yeah.
That's what Zed was saying.
And hopefully if they're not your regular fans, you'll pick up some new ones, and hopefully they'll turn into EHTV to check you out.
Definitely. Yeah, our videos have been getting over 1,000 views. I mean, one's almost at 2,000. I was like, wow. To me, that's a lot.
That is a lot in the short time you've had them up.
Yeah, where do you post your videos at? I mean, do you use YouTube or what?
I have a YouTube. I just did the stuff that I used to do alone on there. But since Zed came aboard, we just do it on Facebook now. And like I said, this is the re-debut of Graveyard Tales with this first episode back on Eerie House. It's been almost a year, Dale. That was a year ago, last Halloween, I did the first episode on there, Plan 9.
Yeah.
And now we're re-debuting it with GTV and stuff. A lot of cool stuff to come.
Yeah. I still have that episode, so I'll have to rebroadcast it at some point. We'll put it in the schedule, as well as your new stuff as it comes available.
Yeah, we like he said, we got episode 2 we're going to shoot this week, and then we got a kind of a crossover episode with Octavian Hollow. I don't know who that is.
Oh, no kidding.
Yep, we have that coming up to record, and then we got another one in September and the Halloween special, which you'll definitely get all those because, like I said, Eerie House is, you know, GTV's home. So.
Aw. Oh, shucks.
Shucks.
Appreciate that. Appreciate that very much. We're working with so many wonderful, wonderful people. I hope you get to do some other crossovers with other folks on there. Everybody that we work with is pretty open to talking to folks. So if you see somebody you like that you might want to work with, you know, reach out to them on Facebook. They're good people. Arachna. Lord Bloodra and, oh my gosh, I love Tar and Feather. They're so funny. If you haven't seen their show, very, very soon, I'm going to replay their Terror of Tiny Town. It's hilarious. It's a Western starring a bunch of vertically challenged people. for lack of a politically correct way of saying it, they're vertically challenged.
Yeah. Are you going to be up in a... Actually, just went through, I'm sure you've seen on Facebook, I was in Michigan for a week. I didn't know what part of Ohio you was in, but I went up there for a new job. I got a new job, and they sent me up there for training. But I was going to stop or send you a message, see if I could get a hold of you, but I was so busy up there doing stuff. But are you going to be around next month in Indianapolis at Horror Hound?
Probably not at Horror Hound. Right now is probably not a really good good idea for me to hang out there.
Well, he'll be hanging out.
You may or may not know.
he'll be hanging out at Gularty Fest in October. Our fees are in, Dale.
Somewhere you want to.
We are in Lake Flynn because the fees are in.
Where's that?
Awesome. Dave shares. I'm so lucky that Dave shares his table with me. You know, that he has for Weirdness Really Bad Movie, and we're going to be pimping Eerie House, both radio and television. So I will be there for at least one, if not two of the days, maybe all three if I can work it out. I do want to do a lot of radio that week. That is a week I generally take. Halloween week is something I usually save my vacation days for so that I can play hooky and and have fun with all the horror folks, all my horror homies, as it were.
Where's this at?
Horror Hound is in the Cleveland area, usually on the west side in Parma.
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 Did somebody say Parma?
Oh, I don't have a polka ready. I'm so sorry.
So you have your group thing on there. Come on. Group, it's going to be a good night.
Did you say polka?
I do.
Roll out the barrel.
Group! Going to be a good night.
There you go.
There you go. I should keep a polka handy here. I used to. There's so much radio to put in here. Here's something that sounds like a polka. Or maybe that was Dead Zed on his emergency mission. I don't know.
Are you telling me that you do not like Lawrence Welk?
I love Lawrence Welk.
Okay.
It's not in the way that you love Agnes Moorehead, you know, we'll get the shovel kind of stuff, but...
Well, this week it's Zazu Pitts. So.
Oh, is it Zazu Pitts?
Yeah.
That's good.
I've been watching her movies all week.
Well, guys, I think we just lost Slash, and it's time for me to prepare for the rebooting of Livestream to get it back on schedule. Thank you, King. It's been a while. We missed you here, and you know you're always welcome. It's time for Dave and I to say good night, Mrs. Calabash, wherever you are. Or
good night, Gracie.
Good night, Gracie.
Good night, Gracie.